Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Blue Jays From Away podcast, episode 52.
Got this force coming through in my blood, in my veins, it's a current of love.
Today, we bring you the first of our podcasts featuring interviews with the New Hampshire Fisher Cats. Today, we start with an overview of the club with coaches Stubby Clapp and Vince Horseman. So sit back, ladies and gentlemen, take a listen, and get your Blue Jays on. It's the Blue Jays From Away podcast. Welcome back to the Blue Jays From Away podcast. We're brought to you by the 2016 Toronto Blue Jays Minor League Handbook and the premium content section of Blue Jays From Away. This year's edition features profiles of over 200 players in the Toronto Blue Jays organization while giving you all of the info you need to follow the Blue Jays minor leaguers in action. The premium content section has photos, video, and scouting reports to supplement the profiles. The 2016 Toronto Blue Jays Minor League Handbook and the Blue Jays From Away Premium Content Section. We've got you covered.
Welcome back to the podcast. I'm joined by Stubby Clapp, the hitting coach for the New Hampshire Fisher Cats. Welcome to the podcast, Stubby.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So let's start off with, you know, just a little bit of your coaching career. You've been with the Blue Jays for quite a while now, and you've, you know, worked your way, I guess, up the organization. Some people see that as, you know, promotions, and other people like working with players at different levels for you know, different parts of their career. You know, how do you see this being here at Double A? How do you see that for you and as a fit for you?
You know what? I really like this level. You know, you get a lot of prospects and a lot of guys that are getting close to the big league. So there's a lot of different adjustments they got to make. Fine tuning is kind of the way I like to look at it. By the time they get here, most guys are mechanically sound for the most part. Every once in a while, you know, there's adjustments, and you know, that's not to say everybody's like that, but for the most part. And the hitting aspect comes into the mentality, the approach that they have, what's going on between the ears, what they're thinking about, and stuff like that. And that's the stuff that I like to dive into with these guys, you know, because we hit so much every day physically, and we go over mechanics, but it's the mental stuff that's going to make or break a guy's career, and being able to handle the adversity and being able to make adjustments throughout the approaches and stuff like that. And that's the level that we're at here. And I enjoy taking care of that stuff with the guys.
You know, from what I've heard about, you know, how, you know, the minors kind of work, is that this is really the level where everybody can hit and everybody has, you know, the mechanics down, and it's really the mental approach that's going to separate the guys that make the majors and the guys who don't. Is that sort of your approach, and you're trying to help the guys get that approach to be able to make the majors?
Yeah, that's exactly it, right? Nobody's making this their last stop, not on purpose. The whole goal is to get better, to be a Major League Baseball player and a winning Major League Baseball player. And it's the mental approach and the mentality that they have that's going to get them there. And that's where we're at. They're at the point right now where they're trying to make those mental adjustments and trying to find the strengths that they're strong at, and be able to take those weaknesses and improve those and make those stronger so that they can make the next jump to AAA, and or sometimes they go right from here to the big leagues every once in a while. So it's definitely the mentality, and that's the stuff that I enjoy.
Now, you mentioned that, you know, you feel really, you know, really comfortable at this level and like you really have something to offer. What is it that you do with these guys that you think you can offer that maybe you do it a little bit differently than someone else might?
Well, number one, I remember how tough it was to hit at not only at the big league level, but at this level. And every day coming to the park for 142 games is not easy. So I remember those struggles. I remember the frustrations. I remember the mental part of it, trying to make those mental adjustments myself. So I try and keep it human. I don't expect them to be Babe Ruth tomorrow. And I think the best part is being able to relate to the guys on all levels, whether it's on the field issues or off the field issues, and creating relationships. And once you create those relationships as a coach, you're going to have them when it comes to actual instruction on the game. So I think that's where I try to take, you know, I take pride in not only just being a hitting coach, but I take pride in trying to help them grow as men on and off the field. And I care about what they do and how it works. And then that translates into the coaching and player relationship.
Now, to me, AA is a really interesting level to watch because you've got guys who have been to the major leagues and are now sort of trying to work their way back. And you have guys coming up through the system trying to get their first crack at it. And the mix of experience levels and the mix of ages especially really makes it, I think, one of the most dynamic levels in terms of just the variety of players you get to see and deal with. How do you like to deal with that type of environment?
Well, so that's the next part of that's a part of coaching is being able to see those dynamics, being able to identify those different personalities between the players, and then being able to help those guys as individuals feel like they are contributing to the team and being able to make those mesh and help those things mesh together, not only for the individuals but for wins for the team, and then through that you see the success of the individuals and teams. They feel valuable for the program, for themselves. And when a guy feels value for himself and he's confident in his abilities, that's when you see guys start to improve in their game. And, you know, hopefully that translates into being moved up and being able to contribute to the big league level.
Now, do you work differently with some of the older guys than some of the younger guys? And, for example, someone who's still pretty new with the Fisher Cats is Ryan LaVarnway. He's been around. He's played at the big league level. He's you know, played a lot of baseball. Or someone like Melky Mesa, who has also been to the big leagues and has been around for a fair while. Do you treat them differently than maybe some of the guys who are coming up to AA for the first time, like a Matt Dean or a Rowdy Tellez?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and I don't treat them differently as people, but when it comes to their knowledge and to their experience base in the game, it's definitely different. And so you're talking about different situations and different approaches with a Rowdy Tellez and a Matt Dean compared to Ryan and Melky, who've been there and done that, and they've had those experiences. They've got those feelings, and it's just a matter of bringing back the good feelings for them because they've obviously gotten there. They've obviously know how to do it. It's finding that for them. So there's different information categories that I'll tap into for those guys, as opposed to where, you know, some of the younger guys, you're teaching them how to get those experiences and what those experiences feel like before they actually have them, and try to help them learn ahead of the curve.
So let's talk about some of these individuals now. And I know the fans like to hear how some of their, you know, the players they're watching are coming along. And we'll start with Rowdy because I think he's probably one of the best known guys. What are you seeing out of Rowdy? And what are you working on with him?
Rowdy is a young hitter. He's learning about approach. He's learning how to stay disciplined and committed and convicted to what he wants to do. With balls in the strike zone and learn how to hit in the strike zone as opposed to trying to hit everything because he's got that ability to be able to reach out and hit a ball, you know, 2 feet off the plate if he has to. So he's learning about, you know, approach versus the pitchers at this level. The pitching's better. You know, they can spot fastballs better. And they can throw a secondary pitch early in the count if they need a strike. So being able to adjust to the approaches, to the pitchers, to what they're doing to them, and being able to stay within his strengths in order to be able to do damage for the team. You know, and then you get guys like Matt Dean. He's working. He's going through some mechanical issues right now. He's trying some different things, which is a tough thing to do at this level because the pitchers aren't graceful. They're not trying to give you any leeway when it comes to working on things. So he's making adjustments on the fly right now and trying to do it at a AA level. That's tough. So you know, sometimes you see things and you're like, just you wish he had a day or two where he could work on it before he actually goes in a game, but in this situation. You don't. So he's going through some mechanical stuff right now.
Is there anyone on this team that you think? I mean, I have a couple guys in mind that I think, you know, I've been mentioning in some of my blogs lately, and I know they have they've really been doing a lot more than people might have expected them to. But, you know, I'll just ask you first, you know, is there someone or a couple of guys who you think are really under the radar but are really valuable performers for this Fisher Cats team?
Right off the top of my head is Parmalee. Ian Parmalee, I mean, he just grinds out every AB. Obviously, his numbers are there, but his ABs that he does, that he has for the team, they're always productive outs. And whether it's running up a pitch count on a guy because he doesn't give in, or, you know, being able to scrap out a couple hits with two outs with runners on and stuff like that. I mean, he's been, you know, valuable for us to be able to throw him out in the lineup. You don't have to worry about whether he's hitting off a lefty or a righty. He does damage both ways, and it just goes to his mentality and his strength and not giving up. Lopes is coming along. He's finally, you know, doing some things that we would like him to do. You know, I've had him for the last couple of years, and I'm finally starting to see some things out of him that I like. And he's doing a nice job controlling his strike zone and what the zone he's trying to hit in. So he's been coming along nice and stuff like that. So he's a little bit under the radar right now. You know, and then you got Roman Fields. You know, Roman's young. He's young in the game. He's green with his knowledge, but he's willing to work. He listens. He plies, and you know, he's a lot of fun to watch, especially when he puts the ball in play and you get to watch him run.
Well, Parmalee was definitely one of the guys I was thinking of, and I have a question about him. But since we're talking about Roman Fields, you know, Mike Barnett told me once that Fields really impressed him, the way he took to adjustments and suggestions. Is that something that you obviously, you know, you wish everybody would do it, but, who, you know, is there someone else who is able to apply the lessons as well, or, you know, in the same ballpark?
You know, every guy's different. Some guys take information and are able to apply it right away. Some guys need the information thrown at them a couple different times before it actually hits home. You know, it's tough to really say yes and no, because every guy is different, every character is different, everybody receives information in a different way. Some guys are visual learners, some guys are auditory learners, and some guys need, you know, examples, and some guys need it thrown at them 15 times before actually. So it's tough. He's definitely one of his own kind, and he does a great job with the information. Like I said, he's like a sponge right now. He absorbs and tries to apply right away.
So Parmalee, you know, he hasn't really been an everyday player up to this point in the year, and he's had sort of mixed success wherever he's gone. You know, how do you explain that a guy like him, when he's now getting a chance to play, he's sort of forcing himself into the lineup every day and, you know, playing so well that you can't keep him on the bench?
Well, that's a coach's dream, right? So you want guys to be able to force your hand. I mean, that's a great problem to have. And the hat's off to him, because he's the one that comes to the park ready to work every day. And if he's not playing in the game, he's on the bench studying the other pitchers and the other defense and stuff like that, trying to pick up stuff. He's a student of the game. So when it comes to him, you know, it's a great problem to have. And I tell you what, I love having him in the lineup.
Now, there's one guy who's pretty new to New Hampshire that, I saw an at-bat from him yesterday, and I was really impressed, and that's Jason Lablabijian. And the at-bat I'm thinking about yesterday, he fouled off probably about five or six pitches, and, you know, he was facing a guy with a really pretty good fastball, about 93, and when he was getting the ball thrown inside, he was pulling it foul, and when he was getting it thrown outside, he was going the other way and hitting it foul and really working the pitcher. What did you see from that at bat, and what did you see from Lablabijian over the past, I guess, week that you could tell us about?
Well, you know what, he's another guy. He's another guy that's like an Ian Parmalee. You know, he didn't really get a chance to start everywhere he's been. He's always had to grind his way into the lineup. He's always had to handle the adversity and be able to keep his chin up and be able to take the, you know, every other days and you know, play on the Sunday day games and stuff like that. And you know what? This year he's done a great job. He got an opportunity to play every day, and he showed that he can do it. And, of course, he's forcing our hand here to play him. And with that AB right there, that's just prototypical Leb. He grinds. He's not going to give in. He's got a great mental approach, and he's going to make the pitcher work for every out. So I expect that out of him. It's not a surprise to me because I've seen him a little bit for the last couple of years, and he's another guy that you love having in the lineup because you know what you're going to get every day.
All right, and just, is there anyone else you want to talk about, or are you happy with that?
Oh, I'm good. I mean, I tell you what, I love these guys. You know, we've got a great group of guys this year to work. Every day you come to work, it's the cage is full. Everybody's trying to do something, trying to get better. And as a coach, you can't ask for anything else. So there's nothing wrong here. I enjoy it.
All right. Well, thanks to Stubby Clapp, and we wish the New Hampshire Fisher Cats the best of luck the rest of the way.
Thank you. Appreciate it, man.
White and cold, then you raise up your hands.
Welcome back to the podcast. I'm joined by the Fisher Cats pitching coach, Vince Horsman. It's, I think, the first time I've interviewed you with the Fisher Cats.
Yeah. What's been your problem?
You know, just sometimes you just can't get out here.
Okay. Well, at least I'm in your thoughts, right?
You're always in my thoughts, Vince. Okay. So I want to, you know, first ask you, you know, it's your first year at this level and working with, I guess, you've probably worked with some of these guys before, and how's that working out? How are you finding the different challenge with a different team?
Well, I think, you know, going into any season, there's always going to be challenges. What I am happy with is that the guys that have had me before know how I kind of like to work, and so there's really no major transition, even though we're moving up, you know, levels for those guys. And the newer guys, they're just learning who I am and again, how I like to do things. And I think that so far the transition of us all getting to know each other and how we like to do things and how I like to do things and the work, it's been great.
Now, I'll start with a guy who I was talking to yesterday, and he speaks really highly of you and what you've been doing together, and that's Jeremy Gabariski. And Gabby was saying that you've been working with some mechanics and that sort of helped him refine his game and take it to the next level. Can you, you know, enlighten us a little bit about what those, you know, adjustments have been?
Well, I've been fortunate to have Gabby for 3 years, going from the Midwest League to the Florida State League and now here, and just over the time, he just kind of morphed his delivery a little bit. He's a little bit of a crossfire guy, but sometimes he kind of gets under the ball, and we've been really working hard about staying over the ball and driving it down and getting the good sink and having a little more deception with his changeup. And he's taken to those changes quite well. He's been a pleasant surprise here. And he goes out there, and every game he just seems to find his way into sixth inning. And from my standpoint, he's just, you know what you're going to get when he goes out there, and it's really comforting. But you know, all the changes that Gabby's had to go through and just understanding and the refinement of his game, you know, those credits go to him and not me. He's been really good. He's been a great student of the game, and he knows what he wants to do out there.
Another of the younger players who are on this Fisher Cats team is Shane Dawson, another Canadian, who has had some, you know, tremendous success at the previous levels around his, you know, his injury issues. What are you working on with him now, I guess?
Well, I think the biggest focus for Shane is just fastball command. This year it's not quite as sharp as it's been in the past, and he knows that, and he's pretty diligent on working on it, and he knows what he needs to do in order to go out there and be competitive and successful. So the primary focus with Shane is just commanding his fastball, being able to move it to the different quadrants in the strike zone, and he's working hard at doing it.
Now, with young pitchers, there's also some older guys who are on this team, especially at AA, where you've got a really big mix of players, both, you know, coming up from below in the system and some free agent signings who are coming in and have major league experience. You know, do you take a little bit of a different approach with some of those players?
Well, the older guys, I just let them know that I'm here for them. I know they're either coming or trying to get back to where they once were, and what I'm here to is just to facilitate those things that they might need from my standpoint and just availability. I understand what they're trying to do, having been there before, and just, you know, providing them an opportunity where they can go out there and continue to work it on their game.
Now, an example of one of those older players is Jason Birkin, who was pitching yesterday. Can you tell us, you know, what you saw out of the start yesterday? He had a great opening inning to the outing, and things, you know, didn't go as well for him from then on. Can you tell us, you know, what happened and sort of in an ideal world, what you would like to have seen?
Well, I think we can pretty much surmise Jason Birkin's season in a nutshell, where when he's down, he's been very good, much like the first inning. And then when he hasn't been good and he's gotten hit around, is when he elevates the ball, and much like the last three innings where he just got up in the strike zone. And, you know, he doesn't have the stuff to really overpower guys. And when he's up there, it just really becomes a glorified batting practice. And he knows that he can't live up there. Just last night was one of the nights where he just couldn't make the adjustment and get the ball down.
Now, to me, it looked like he was throwing two different types of fastballs. It looked like he had a sinker and he had a four-seamer. Is that, you know, and it, again, it, to me, it looked like when it was up, the sinker flattened out a little bit. Is that, again, something that happens when pitchers miss up in the zone, is that the pitches flatten out and there's less movement?
Well, sinkers are supposed to be, you know, at the bottom part of the zone. That's hence the name sinker. But when you're up and you're flat, it's just, it becomes a very hittable pitch. And it's not like he's out there throwing 96 or 97 miles an hour. You know, he sits around 90, 91, 92, and flat fastballs just get hit at any level. And, you know, he's been concentrating a lot on a sinker the past 3 weeks, and he's been having some success. It's just last night was a little bump in the road for him.
Now, another guy who I think he does throw kind of 95, 96 is Chris Smith, and he's a guy that a lot of people don't really know much about. But I saw him in spring training, and he was definitely throwing the ball with some good velocity. What can you tell the listeners about Smith?
Well, Chris Smith, for me, is a little bit of a project. He never really had a lot of opportunity to pitch extensively. He was more like a one-inning guy, one-plus. And now we're kind of increasing his workload so that he gets a feel for how to pitch. And, you know, to kind of throw the first fastball in there at 94, knowing that he can add on to 96 and 97, not to rely so heavily on a slider, which he's had done in the past, but to pitch more off his fastball. And he's done a really good job kind of morphing his plan of attack, whereas before it was just come in and, you know, show a couple fastballs, throw some sliders, and really more of a long, more along the line to pitch off a slider than his fastball. So we're just trying to reprogram his train of thought, and he's doing a good job with it.
And another Smith, Murphy Smith, who was probably one of your best pitchers down in Dunedin last year, you know, what is he showing you this year? And I mean, he's been fantastic. And so what can you tell us about him, and what has he shown you that you really like?
Well, last year when we got Murph, he was just a little flat. And so we kind of changed his game thought a little bit by when he was throwing his fastball, that one out of every three pitches that he ever threw were going to have to be a fastball in just to keep a hitter honest. And then this year he came back to spring training, and he was really working over the ball much better. His slider got better. And I think we're just seeing a guy that's really starting to come into his own, even though he's a little bit, you know, later in life in baseball terms. You know, I think he's really starting to get a hold of who he is and what he needs to do, and he's been a tremendous asset in the bullpen this year.
And I also think the fact that, you know, his ERA is where it is, I think it's still under one, that people are starting to take notice as opposed to him being just another guy in a cluster of a bullpen.
Yeah, I think he separated himself, you know, from the other guys. Not that the other guys aren't doing well themselves, but just about, you know, what the perception is or how it's supposed to look. And he goes out there and you watch him on a nightly basis, and that's the way it's supposed to look like for a guy that is trying to get to the big leagues, you know, where there's not a lot of inconsistencies or there's not, you know, two good games, one bad game. It's been pretty much locked in, dialed in, and going out there and executing his pitches.
And what can you say about John Anderson, who's been starting for you this year? And, you know, he's had some success. He's had some games where, you know, he's been hit around a bit. What can you tell us about what he's working on and what he's focusing on? And we just saw him today in a side session. So what's going on there?
Well, John just needs to continue to work on commanding the ball. I mean, he's a left-hander that can throw upwards to 95, and he's got a good slider. But at times he just doesn't put the whole package together. And out there for a game, like a complete game, he'll throw like three really good innings, and then an inning will get away from him where maybe he'll get it, you know, too in love with his slider, or just get a little fat over the plate. You know, here's a veteran guy that, you know, we're counting on to really help kind of anchor the starting rotation. And he's just been kind of, you know, kind of a roller coaster a little bit. And it's just really command. At times he just gets elevated and flat over the plate. And no matter how hard you throw, those pitches tend to get hit.
Now, I mean, I could go and you know, ask you about every single guy on the roster, but I know you've got a lot to do. But is there anyone else that you might think of that, you know, we haven't talked about and that you think you would like to talk about or you think that the listeners should probably have in their head and be looking for?
Well, there's a few guys, especially in the bullpen, a guy like Danny Barnes who leads the league in a couple categories from relievers, you know, least amount of walks, lowest batting average, lowest runners per nine. And he goes out there and you just keep watching him and all he does is throw his fastball, but everybody knows what's coming, but they still can't do anything with it. And so he's kind of a unique character where, you know, there's always, you know, you got to be able to have two pitches and two quality pitches pitching in the big leagues. And he's just kind of running out there with one, not that his slider's okay. Just a little bit below average and his changeup's just a little bit below average, but, for some reason they just don't seem to get his fastball. And another guy's Brady Dragmire, who struggled a little bit with me early last year in Dunedin, and then when he came, we sent him out for a little bit. He came back, and he was much better in the second half, had a nice fall league. And he struggled a little bit early this year, so we kind of changed his game plan a little bit. And and from then on, he's really starting to take off and starting to flourish for me and really get comfortable pitching at this level. And at times you look at him, and again, what it's supposed to look like to be a big leaguer, and he's shown that. So he's another guy that is really interesting.
And I guess I'll bring up the we'll put quotations around it, closer. Will Browning has the most saves on the team, and he's also been excellent this year.
Yeah, Will's had a nice season up to date. You know, at times he struggles a little bit with lefties. With that slide, that just lefties tend to get a good look at him. But Will's been pretty consistent night in and night out. And, you know, he kind of early in the season when we were kind of struggling a little bit, finishing off games, we put Will back in there and it kind of calmed things down. And he goes out there and he just gets people out and it's fun to watch him pitch.
All right. Well, we're hoping to have another game today where it's fun to watch some guys pitch, and we'll wish you and the Fisher Cats the best of luck the rest of the season.
All right. Thank you very much.
That's it for episode number 52 of the Blue Jays From Away podcast. I'd like to thank Stubby Clapp and Vince Horsman for joining me. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Jays From Away. Come on back soon and go Jays go. Higher, higher, raise up your head.